thanks to you, Dr. Loudermilk, for helping us to herald in the season of Advent. Thank you. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He shall come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away.
To God be the glory for the reading of his word.
Wetland.
Desert.
Refreshing.
Dry.
Waters.
Wilderness.
Stream.
Burning. The wilderness and the parched land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and burst into bloom.
Pool.
Dead.
Flowers.
Lifeless.
Blossom.
Barren.
Beauty.
Hostile.
Hopeful.
Thirsty.
Lush.
The rarest of flowers shall blossom extravagantly. Twigs.
Meadow.
Scavengers.
Cool.
Hopeless.
Restful.
Bleak.
Peaceful.
Lost.
Fruitful.
No direction.
Thirst quenching.
Burning.
Pleasantly warm.
For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of scavengers shall become lush wetland. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. Freezing.
Solitude.
Extremes.
In good company.
Lonely. Unknown.
Familiar.
And through it all, a road. It shall be called the Holy Way, the way of safety. Take this road. You're on the way. The road will get you there. And not even you will get lost.
Sanctuary. Welcome. Come on in.
Barren, lonely, dry. We've all been there spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And yet, Advent offers a simple promise. Come on in, wherever you're at. An invitation from our Lord to come on in. From the barren, the cold, and the lonely places of life. From the desolate deserts and weedy wastelands to come home at last. The gift, the promise of life anew, abundant, and eternal is apparent at hand and available for all. But before we can have any of that refreshment, we must, dear friends, dare to be in the desert, to be parched, dry, and thirsty, to be barren in order to hear Isaiah's invitation. Come on in and truly embrace the hope, joy, peace, and love of Advent and our long-awaited Savior in our Christian walk. Now consider this, friends. In the Garden of Eden, what the scene might be, humanity was blessed with an environment which allows its inhabitants to serve the Lord, where everything's happy. They were free to walk with the Lord in the cool of the evening and the warmth of the day. This beautiful environment was lost at the fall, however. Yet in the first couple verses of our scripture for today from Isaiah, we must remember the time period. For the children of Abraham, a new Eden was promised, a land flowing with milk and honey, blossoming and blooming with gladness and joy all around. But this land had wandered and withered before their very eyes, and was now inhabited by a rebellious and greedy people taken away from God's blessing, a people soon to lose everything. God's word to Isaiah was a promise of a future blessed environment. The land of Judah, so rugged and inhospitable, which is now nestled above the desert to the south, the loneliest and most barren in the territory at the time, mind you. Well, that land, Isaiah says, will become lush and fertile like the best land in Palestine. Judea will house healthy forests in different towns like Lebanon, Sharon, and Carmel, towns where previously there's been great struggle and divide among the people. There will be fertile and fruitful farming land to pasture. In Jesus' ministry, we get a glimpse of the blessing of such an environment, don't we? The catching of fish and the feeding of the 5,000, to name one particular example. And it displays the coming of this age of plenty. And as we gathered around the Thanksgiving tables, how many of us gave thanks not only that we had plenty, but we want to thank God that He's with those who don't have anything. And where do we hear the promise of Jesus for eternity, that the masses, even the most barren places of and people, can and will be joyful once again at some point? Revelation 22:2 says, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. So we can cling ourselves to the promise of Jesus, friends. Here and to come, we'll have all we need. Won't it be great? And then we shift to verses 3 and 4. The persecuted, the faint-hearted can take heart, for the Lord is about to deal with the enemy. The oppressing nations will no longer ravage the people of Israel. In Jesus' ministry, we see this very strongly. We see people who are following Christ bound up in love and taken care of, whatever their lot in life. In the final day, though, the devil who tempted and deceived them is thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. Translation, friends, we will endure people who will persecute and frustrate us to no end, but we are to be assured we need not become weak in our knees and feeble in our hands, and we need not fear. We are to know the Lord will combat any evil we face with vengeful wrath, if necessary, and protect us in the hope of freedom and peace formed in that joy and love of Jesus, the promised King. Our God will save us through His birth, life, and resurrection. What a promise! Won't it be great? And then we hear the familiar words of Scripture offered through the images of healing in the next couple verses, 5 and 6. The blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the lame leaping, and the mute speaking. But notice, it's not just the physical sickness Isaiah is talking about. What else is it? Spiritual, right? Spiritual blindness. Spiritual sickness of all kinds, Isaiah says, will be taken away if we truly turn to the promised Messiah. It's the spiritual sickness that people must really worry about if we turn away from God. And friends, who's those people today? Who's those people today? All of us at different points. We all have those barren moments. We're all those doubting Thomases, right? Sometimes those dry places are there, those parched realities where we wonder, God, where are you? Jesus, how are you leading me out of this one? And still the Advent promise is there from God. Come on in. Just wait. You will be restored. Jesus powerfully demonstrated the reality of the coming kingdom in His life by healing the sick and raising the dead. So we eagerly await the coming day when there will be, for all who accept and follow Christ, a land where no more death or mourning or crying or pain whatsoever exists. For the old order of things will just pass away, as Revelation 21:4 reminds us. What a promise, friends. Won't it be great? And another thing about the land here that I think we need to consider. In addition to our joy, our need for joy being even in the desert, water will spring forth if we have that joy, giving life to the land. No one will be thirsty. So by our attitudes, we can bring life to people through Jesus. Are you doing that? Are you offering hope even when you don't feel like it? Are you offering joy when you don't feel like it? Are you being peaceful even when everyone else around you isn't? Are you bringing a love which people find unpopular and weird wherever you are? Because if you are doing that, you're bringing water to the desert, this world, dear friends. No longer, Isaiah says, will there be burning sands. There will be pools of clear and fresh water. We can all be the water in the desert. We can be the water that wets the sand in today's hearts. Jesus came and offered living water to a parched people, right, friends? He offered the life-giving Spirit of the living God to all, as recorded in John 7:38. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water from within them will flow. By this he meant the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. Dear friends, we await the day when we will come into the presence of the living God in full. But while we wait, we now still can drink from the river of the water of life. And together we will then experience the river flowing as clear and crystal, flowing down from the throne of God, as Revelation 22:1 describes. What a promise! Won't it be great? And then verses 8 and 9. The Babylonians and Persians were great road builders. Isaiah sees a highway driven through the rough terrain of Palestine from the countryside where the people of Israel have been taken into exile. This road which is built will lead to Zion, the beautiful city of God. This will be a straight and true way, safe for the returning ones and blessed for all, paved by Christ. For us, friends, Jesus is our highway provided by our Heavenly Father. He's the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, as John 14:6, of course, describes. But when we travel that highway, friends, we experience the Advent promise in full. If we come on in with Jesus, our walk, our waiting and wanting will be worth it. The highway will lead us home at last. What a promise. Won't it be great? And lastly, verse 10. There will be a new Jerusalem, and its gates will be open wide for the returning exiles, those who have been brought out of slavery. They will return by the highway as well. And they will enter the city, and they will be crowned with gladness and joy. Sorrow and sighing will just vanish. Oh, it sends chills down my spine. In fulfillment of this prophecy, Jesus has gathered people to himself, dear friends. Here then is the great new Jerusalem, Zion, the dwelling place of God. Here God dwells among his people. Even today, friends, our God dwells among his people. This is our Zion right here at Black Rock. You ever thought about that? For where two or three are gathered, Christ is present. Amen. Of course, we still await the final realization of Isaiah's promise of a fertile, perfect land, as spelled out in Revelation 22:1-3. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look! God's dwelling place is there now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." What a promise. Won't it be great? So, to sum this all up, friends, Isaiah sees a vision of hope. He sees the establishment of the kingdom of God. He sees the new Jerusalem, Zion, the beautiful city of God, open to some people. Open to, say it, all, everyone. The Lord is constantly helping all enter. Around that city, he sees a beautiful, flourishing land, water flowing in abundant. And people, abundance, and people filled with joy. He sees a highway straight and true leading to the city gates. It's a safe and secure road, and on it will travel the lost ones, captives and slaves, and exiled people now redeemed, and they will be able to return to their homeland. Oh. They return to the Lord, free to serve him, to give him glory, to worship him. Their joy and gladness is abundant and unbounded. Friends, we are those people in Isaiah's time today. We are. At church, at home, at work, wherever you are, wherever you go, the barrenness of the world is unquestionable, but our faith in him should not shake. It should be unshakable. We are to carry on the Advent promise from God to ourselves and to others. Come on in. Be restored once and for all in Jesus' life, now and forever. Friends, our eyes must be set on the day of Christ's return. And even as we wait in the hope, the peace, the love, and the joy of Advent, waiting to celebrate Jesus' birth, we still must prepare ourselves, as Lisa talked about with our children, for his coming again and for us to be with him forever. We got to get ready. We must not be blind or deaf or mute or lame. We must stand up for Jesus and feel God freeing us and others for the journey ahead and at hand. And if we don't, we may as well not come to church or be called active, practicing Christians at all. It's no good. So, dear friends, my prayer this Advent, let's dare to be in the desert. Can we say that? Let's dare to be in the desert, the barren places, as we wait. So we can find that living water, that refreshment once and for all. So we can help others experience that refreshment once and for all. And as we now prepare for communion, let's also be strong and not fear. Let us remember the God of Israel has sent us a great Redeemer to free and save us, and his body and blood offers us the eternal hope of life anew, abundant, and everlasting. What a promise! Won't it be great? To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Broken body and blood of your King, your Son, the promised Messiah, prepare us now, we pray. Fill us with the gifting of love, joy, peace, and hope, to the point we might draw close to each other and draw closer to you. So friends, you're marching, you're walkers, you're runners. Your knees aren't weak, you have no need to fear. The promised Messiah is at the end of the road. He's with you every step of the way. So let's go. Let's start the journey, because it's worth it. Won't it be great? To God be the glory, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.